are you all? Y'all planning for a big Easter next week? Yes. First off, where is she? Is she here today? Trina here? Well, she's not here. But I just want to thank her for doing the decorations around here. She's faithful to do that type of stuff. So comes out here and I make sure if I see her car, I'll just turn back around so she don't ask for help. She'll put you to work, man. But she's got a servant's heart, and I love that. If you have any Bibles, open up to Romans 12. We're going to get started with this. This is part three of the high life that we're supposed to be living. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for your word, which is always true. And Father God, we just ask that your word just continue to transform us into who you want us to be. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." True worship is total surrender to God. Not a little bit here, a little bit there. It's total worship, true worship. It's total surrender. You know, growing up, and, you know, my mom was six boys in a house. My mom bought food, but we couldn't keep it in the cupboards. I mean, we just eat it all up. And sometimes, you know, if I was just an only child and that happened, I probably would have starved to death because the sandwiches and stuff that I was making, ketchup and relish, mayonnaise, sugar sandwiches, just doesn't last. And so I was thankful to have a brother that would cook for me. Y'all say nasty. I'm telling you, don't knock it till you try it. But I had a brother that would cook for us. I mean, he would just whip up something and it was just, I mean, French toast, stuff like that. I'm like, my goodness, this is good. I mean, he did with the egg and I didn't know how French toast. I just made toast and just put syrup on it. Plain Jane. But some of the best sandwiches that was made is when we had bacon and eggs. Y'all ever had a good bacon and egg sandwich? I'm telling you, lightly toasted with some jelly on it, butter and jelly. Ain't nothing like a bacon and egg sandwich. But you got to understand. See, when you're talking about the bacon and the egg and being a living sacrifice to God, here's the thing. See, the chicken contributed to the meal. But you know what? The pig, it gave everything. he was holy sacrifice right there. And sometimes we do this in our lives that we give God a little bit of here, a little bit of there. But he wants a living and holy sacrifice. I got to thank Dr. Evans for that one. Verse 2, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you." Who's supposed to transform you? Who's supposed to change you? Don't let people do that. People might want to do that, but God is supposed to do that for us. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, after being a living and holy sacrifice, it doesn't just stop there. Now we got to renew our minds with his word on a daily basis. Not just anything. I've heard somebody say, you know, I'm just waiting to download as much information. Okay, back up. Here's the thing. Download it with the word of God first. Get a foundation in your life. And then you can start building on top of that. Because you're going to get the wrong distorted images about who God is. Well, God will put sickness. No, he doesn't. God is teaching me. No, he's not. He may show you some things. You may learn some things through your mistakes. But he didn't send that in your life. That evil. And people get distorted images in that. So we have to renew our minds with the word of God. Paul is telling us not to copy the behavior of this world. There should be a difference between a believer's life and an unbeliever's life. There should be a significant difference. You know, even when it talks about, you know, when we're supposed to pray for our leaders, pray for your leaders. I don't like who's in office, but I pray for him. I don't agree with everything he says, but I pray for him. That's what we're called to do. God, the king's heart is in his hand, and God will turn it whichever way he wishes. So why don't we pray towards his word, based upon what his word says, rather than just ridiculing him, bad-mouthing him, doing all this stuff. I don't know. Yeah, we don't agree. We don't agree. Say something, Joe. Say something worthy, Mr. President. We pray for him. We're called to be salt of the earth. So how can we be salt if we're just sitting up in our churches all day long, all week long? How can we be salt if we're sitting in our rooms all day long? How can we be salt if we're just in our basements all day long? We got to get on out here. Get outside these walls here and be salt where you're at, on your jobs, at school, where you're working, and things of that nature. Be the salt of the earth. It's kind of hard to salt some food if it's not in front of you. See, you're going to have to get up and go to the grocery store, buy it, bring it home, prepare it, cook it, and all that stuff. And then you get to salt it. But if you're my wife, you're not going to put salt on it. So I always got some salt with me. For me and the kids. Make an impact on someone else's life. See, the giftings that God has given you is not just for you. It isn't for you. It's for other people. I don't know if you guys ever... I hope I don't butcher the story, but Bishop Jakes, there's a thing on YouTube, 4.5 minutes long, and it talks about how he almost quit. He's sitting there with Stephen Furtick. Have you seen that? And he said the Washington Post. I mean, when he was preaching and stuff, and I'm just paraphrasing, the Washington Post just laid into him. I mean, badmouth him. He didn't think that people would be able to do that without all the facts. But he realized that, you know, people will, they'll judge you first and then figure you out later. Unfortunately. See, the church has got to do better than that. But it was to the place to where he almost quit. And he was hanging out with some pastors. He had preached at a place, and then he was just kind of waiting out. He seen a lady that was just waiting for him. And he was just kind of waiting her out, and he's like, she ain't going to go anywhere, so I might as well go. And she says, Bishop Jakes, she tells him her story. She goes, I was pregnant, and my fallopian tubes and the baby died. And the toxicity of that baby, that dead baby that she had to carry around full term, almost killed her. But she says, if it wasn't for your preaching, I would have died. It's not for them. It's for us. And we're thinking, man, I gotta quit. No. The gift that you have on the inside of you is not for you. It's for someone else. When you're quitting, you're not just giving up on yourself. You're giving up on other people. Because they're dependent upon that. So we got to realize it's bigger than us. Let God transform you. God will be the one who gives the increase. God will be the one who transforms you into who he wants you to be. He's going to have you thinking the way he thinks. He's going to have you walking the way he wants you to walk. He's going to have you living by faith the way he wants you to live by faith. We can do that, yeah, because Jesus says, the works that I do shall you do. So when we begin to think like him, our minds are renewed, we're going to be walking like him. He was a man here on this earth. Just like you and I. And sometimes we'll limit ourselves just by the way we think. Verse 3. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Everyone has been given the measure of faith. And each of us has different gifts for the body, like we talked about. It's not to brag about and throw it in people's faces. Oh, I can prophesy. Well, big whoop-de-doo. That's good. Well, I can do this. All right. Why are you telling me? See, you want somebody to think of you more highly than us. Well, here's the thing. You got God living in you just like I got God living in me. What's the difference? It's not to brag about. It says examine. Evaluate yourselves. See, that's the petty life when you're doing that. That's the petty life. Saying what the Word of God says about you with sound judgment. It's okay to say what God says about you. I'm more than a conqueror. Absolutely. I am the head, not the... Yes, you are. But when you're thinking you're all that in a bag of chips to somebody else's life and they haven't said it, you're bragging on yourself. They just can't do without me. I'm pretty sure they can. You're going to realize you're a lot more toxic than you really... Come on. Believing you are the only one God can use to impact lives, you're fooling yourself. Humility and submission to God is the way we stay a living sacrifice for Him. Now be honest with yourself. Have you ever had to grade your test growing up? Grade your own test? Now, okay, I'm going to see where we at. I say, I know we're all forgiven. Now, how many of y'all cheat on that? Okay, I got a red marker and I got a pencil. And when the teacher reads off the right correct answer, I'm just going to erase it and write the correct answer in there. I've done that. Got 100% every time. If you're going to grade ourselves, I'm going to be honest. Well, y'all just acting like y'all some Cub Scouts or something. Verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. The church is not a building. The church is you. It's the people. We're the bride of Christ. The body of Christ is the head of the body. Jesus is the head of the body. People know their own body parts and what their body is capable of doing. So you tell your body, if it's not functioning normally, be healed. Well, I was born this way. It don't matter. There were men that was born blind. Jesus still healed them. But I was maimed. Doesn't matter. When John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus and asked him if he was the one, or shall we wait for another? Jesus says, go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind eyes are open, the lame walk, the mute talk, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. God has spare body parts. He thought of you. I'm supposed to be normal. Well, maybe it could be a testimony to this. You probably can, but you know what would be a greater testimony? It's Him growing that limb out. It's He healing you completely of cancer. It's healing your lungs. It's Him restoring your marriage. That makes for a greater testimony. Let's not shortchange God and what He can do. So it is, verse 5, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. Since there are many parts, we don't do it alone. We don't do this Christian walk alone. You need someone there. The Lone Ranger had who?
Tonto. How?
He had Tonto. Michael had Scotty. Magic had Kareem and Worthy. Bird had Parrish and Mikhail. LeBron had Kyrie, Caleb, AD, Russell. Chris Boss, and so on and so on. How many people you need? Just a little jab there. We need each other. You can't do it alone. You know, if you sever your finger and just put it over here, none of us would do that. I'm not telling you to do that. If you don't sew it back in time, what have you, that finger will die off because it's detached from the body. And we're not ever supposed to be detached from the body. Verse 6. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If He's given you to prophesy, speak out. Don't hold back. Speak out. Verse 7. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Here's the thing. We got to learn, excuse me, to stay in our lane. We might be getting upset with this person. Why is he always encouraging people? Just motivating. That's what he's called to do. You might be called to teach, but he's called to encourage. You might be called to prophesy, but they're called to serve. And you're trying to make somebody else do what you do. Stay in your lane. If it is giving, give generously. Oh, you just giving just to get. Well, yeah. That's a spiritual law. You reap what you. Notice the gift isn't give sparingly. That's not a gift. Giving generously is a gift. There's a difference. If you want to reap sparingly, sow sparingly. But I'm going to reap generously. My wife and I was just kind of doing some calculation. I may have said this to other people before, and it's not to brag. And it's not that I said, just in youth ministry, over the 13 years, I started in 2007, 13, 14 years, what have you. Every Wednesday night, I started taking some of the youth out, Isaiah and some of his friends out to Sonic to go eat after church on me. So they go out, kind of, this is in middle school, they play on the things and stuff like that out there. And then my wife kind of one-upped me, so to speak. We ended up going to Applebee's, and we were getting half-price apps. So not just our family, the six of us, we got four or five other students with us. Every Wednesday, every time we had our three for the school year, for the 13 years, that's well over $20,000 that we spent on students out of our own pocket. And we were still tithing. We were still serving. We wasn't trying to get reimbursed. We were sowing into young people. Probably paid for a waiter's college tuition or something. Garrett, they love Garrett. But we did that with a good heart. When we would buy things for the church, we didn't ask to be reimbursed. I remember years ago, she bought me like an Xbox 360 or something like that. That's brand new in the box. Gave it to the youth. They needed more than I did. Because I didn't want to hear, get off that thing. That's what... Every time I turn this thing on, I hear, why are you on that? And I was like, it makes this weird noise. You turn it, are you kidding me? No, that's why. You give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Next verse. And if you have a gift for showing kindness,
to others. Do it gladly. We all have a gift. So don't think that God has left you out. Spend some time with them to discover that gift. And we got to learn to stay in our own lane. Learn to appreciate other people's gifts. That's the high life. We got to learn to do that. If you love to talk and everything else, maybe you're supposed to be a voiceover. Audiobooks or something. It says, don't just pretend, verse 9, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Last week I talked about one thing that I hate. I don't like drama. I don't like gossip. I didn't say I don't like gossipers. I don't like gossip. Hold tightly to what is good. Love is an action word and it shouldn't be done without hypocrisy. With hypocrisy, sorry. This word love here is talking about agape love. The same love that God gives us. We're giving each other phileo. It's conditional. The love we're supposed to give each other is agape. See, the reason why I don't like it is because it destroys people's lives. So does any sin, basically. It ruins relationships, marriages, churches, organizations, and get people fired. Like Proverbs 16:28 says this right here. I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but it says here, troublemakers start fights. Gossips break up friendships. So there's a purpose behind it. And people know that. But as believers, we're not going to live that life. It says gossip, Proverbs 20:19. It says gossips can't keep secrets, so don't tell them. So never confide in blabbermouths. Sometimes you have to be real with it. Oh, they like to talk. I'm telling them minimal. I used to have somebody ask me, they would kind of tell me their secret and then says, you tell me one of your secrets. No. And if I do, it's something so watered down that they can't do anything with it. And in Proverbs 20:19 says this, when a leader listens to the malicious gossip, all the workers get infected with evil. So I'm not going to listen to that type of stuff. If you're in leadership positions or wherever you're at, don't worry about it. If it ain't come to you, I like to say, some people say, you know, you got to consider the source. I said, sometimes you can't consider the source because the source may be offended. And I know some people like to get even. Even Stephen. I said, you got to hear from the horse's mouth. And if they lie, they lie. It's on them. I gave them an opportunity to tell the truth. They don't want to do it. I'm going to walk in love with you anyway, but it's your lie, not mine. It says, love each other with genuine affection, verse 10, and take delight in honoring each other. See, if you spend more time praying for other people, you will have less time talking about them in a negative way. It's better to build up. Takes no effort, little to no effort to tear down. It's like somebody building a castle, sandcastle and everything else. I mean, it takes a lot of time and you got to get your spray bottle with some sugar or whatever they put it in to make it hard and stay there. And then somebody just comes over and just stomps all over. It takes little to no effort to do that. God is trying to build something with you. Verse 11 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be eager to serve God with a good attitude. And everybody says, amen. See, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to have an opportunity to serve. Wednesday night, we're not going to do a Bible study. We're going to get the church ready for Easter. So this is about the number of people I want to see Wednesday night. Soon as I said, well, Pastor Tim, I don't believe that's one of my gifts. I don't believe that's mine, or what have you. Yeah, I said, well, I think my gift is just basically, you know, speaking to people, what have you. I said, listen, if you can hold a mic, you can hold a broom. You can hold a vacuum cleaner. You can run a vacuum cleaner. You can hold a paintbrush and paint. Serving should not be beneath you. Don't think more highly of yourself. We started out cleaning toilets. And then from toilets, I went to mowing the lawn. 5 hours. Weed eating two, extra 2 hours. We helped out in children's church. Helped out in worship team. R3. Filled in for Pastor Wes. Did everything he didn't want to do. I've done everything from the rooter to the tooter. Never be lazy. That'll start at 7 o'clock. We'll have food for you either. Even afterwards too. So, verse 12. It says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't ever stop praying. You're believing God for something. Don't ever stop. He hears you. He knows what you need. Don't ever stop praying. And don't ever stop giving thanks. Scripture says, believe that you received it and you shall what? Write that in there. You're going to have to do a whole lot more saying than you do believing. You only have to believe one time. But you speak it more so than anything else. So when stupid thoughts come across your mind, God, I thank you that I'm healed. God, I thank you that I'm debt free. God, I'm thinking that this situation that's coming against me is done. It's over with in the name of Jesus. You keep on praying. Verse 13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And I'm telling you, that's the bloodline for this church. It's been for years. Even when I was recovering, I didn't get too many meals. I got a few meals. I got some eggs and from Anita and stuff. I didn't get too many meals. But that's okay. You know what? Because y'all did something so great. Pay for our medical bills. Our deductible. In that sense. Didn't have to do it. You did. Kept me on the payroll. Didn't have to do it. But you did. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Be ready. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Self-admitting. That's hard to do. Because y'all know what I want to do. I want to take out the fronts, dog. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. We have to be watchful even when it comes to our children. Because when you're bad mouth, if it comes out of your mouth and your children are there, they pick that up too. I don't know about you, but I grew up in an era where if my parents had people over, adult talk with adult talk. We went outside and played. So we never knew that if they had beef with somebody, didn't like somebody, we never knew that because we were still told to treat elders, to treat people with respect. So even though they may not have agreed with something, we still respected them like nothing ever happened. Nowadays, some people don't do that. They say it right in front of the kids, and then the kids go and disrespect the teacher or the adult or what have you, and every which way. And I don't know what's wrong with our youth. Starts at home. Send them outside and let them play. Play in the street till the street lights come on. Bring the 80s back, my goodness. Verse 15. Be happy with those who are happy. Happy, happy, happy. You get a new promotion. Are you happy for people? But why did he get one? Lord, I've been working hard too. I was passed up. I was up for that promotion. I was passed up. Why? Be happy for him. Yours is coming next. You realize that you are just one prayer away from breakthrough. You are one word away from God changing your situation and around. And weep with those who weep. Don't say good riddance. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Treat the janitor the same way you treat the CEO. Some people don't, well, he's a janitor. Well, think of them as the master of custodial arts. Clean it up. They're the servant of the Most High. Enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. You gotta learn something. Everyone is ignorant of something. I was ignorant of pickleball and these old ladies was whooping me. Singers were whooping me. Didn't know the rules, hitting the ball. Well, no, you gotta wait until it drops. It was messing me up. But I enjoyed their company. And they were just thankful and everything. So, my goodness. So, pickleball is on my thing and I'm gonna just get those rules down. And when I get out there, it's on. We're gonna have some fun. Vicky be tearing me up, man. Verse 17. Never pay back evil with more evil. What's that first word? Never. We don't get that opportunity. We shouldn't. Never pay back evil with evil. God's got your back. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. They cuss you out, you bless them. They persecute you. You bless them. They do evil to you. You punch them in the throat. No, God, I can't. God. You never pay back. Verse 18. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And that does not mean you have to agree with everyone. No. But do all you can. Well, I don't agree with that. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. I'm not going to raise my blood pressure up on no one ever again. Not even when the Tar Heels blow a 15-point lead. I'm in the wrong state. No, sorry. Now I'm in the right state. I'm in the right state. We'll convert everybody to Tar Heel fans. No, sorry. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. When you take revenge, God can't pay them back. Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to drop a bomb on you, but there's going to be some truth. There's going to be his word. He disciplines. He corrects with his word. He rebukes those things with his word. He's not going to take them out for your sake. Murder is not part of the atonement for Jesus Christ. Okay. Verse 20. It says, instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. It says to feed them and give them something to drink. Don't be stuffing jalapenos and stuff in their burger. Trying to get them back. Feed them right. Invite them into your home. Show hospitality towards them. And when he starts running out the mouth, bless him. Because you know why? Your kids are going to be watching. And how they see you handle problems, they're going to do it. And you know, sometimes they'll even take it to an extreme. So if we want them to take it something to an extreme, let's do it with generosity. Let's do that in love. Let's do that in trying to be in harmony with other people. That sounds soft. Well, I said, well, that's God. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Hate cannot conquer hate. You have to do that with love. You have to. You got to. Galatians 5 says this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, not just a little bit here and there. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. You become the owner of something huge. I'm going to put a like on your page. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to say, that's awesome. That's good. That's God. I'm not going to be jealous of what God is doing in your life, especially when I've known where you came from, how much you've been struggling. Why on earth would we ever want to take ourselves down that road? People struggle just like you. The high life is where we want to live, not the low life. Jesus came so we were made live that high life on a daily basis. And that's a choice that we can make. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've lived the low life. It ain't good. High life is better. It's a lot more refreshing. Feel energized. My goodness, helping people out. That's good. That's a good thing. Tearing people down, I don't really like. Now, we used to bag on each other growing up. That was all fun and games and stuff. Because we had every ethnicity in our group. So we cracked jokes like a mug. But sooner or later, you have to grow up. So instead of just cracking jokes, you got to bless them. Let's be a church that shows our city, our family, our friends, we know how to live the high life and not the low life. Are you going to do that perfectly? No. That's why you need each other. That's why LeBron needed all those other people. Mike only needed Scotty. That's fine. We got to learn to live the high life. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have another opportunity just to show who you are through us. It's not about us. It's about you, Lord. It's about what you're doing in the lives of people and what you want to do in those who don't know you yet. Help us to be a vessel of light in this community and everywhere we set our foot onto, Lord. And we just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, next week, Easter. Invite someone. Now, here's the thing. When you invite someone, you got to show up too. You have to show up. Y'all want to know the title of the message? Finally got it last night. For God so loved. But in parentheses, for God sowed love. So it's going to be a good message. It is going to be a powerful day. And we're going to get believers born again, unbelievers born again. We're going to get people saved, filled, healed. Because that's what the resurrection was about. All right? So bring someone. Invite someone. If everyone bring you here, we'll be packed. But truly, it's not about the numbers. It's about the heart. Amen. Y'all have a good day. You know what I'm saying? Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.